listening to the Cricket Podcast.
I think it was a disgraceful performance, and I think it should never be permitted to happen again.
That is very good.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Cricket Podcast. This is a bonus episode of the show, a YouTube exclusive, where we will be reacting to the 2021 IPL auction. We'll be talking about the most expensive signings, the weirdest signings, and why nobody picked up Alex Hales. I'm Jack Hope, and as usual, I will be joined by Ross Legg. Ross, have you had a good day?
It was my first experience watching the auction, and I can say that I'd probably be a fan of Bargain Hunt. It was pretty good.
And returning after a successful preview show, we're with our favourite cricket analyst, Dan Weston. Did you enjoy the auction, Dan?
Yeah, it's like Christmas for me, Jack. It's like pretty much the best day of the year. Absolutely love it.
Great. Before we get into things, Ross, can you quickly share our key messages with the listeners?
Yep, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at The Cricket Pod and subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Excellent. Well, let's get straight into things then. We're going to talk about the most expensive signings first, and we're going to kick that discussion off with the most expensive acquisition of all. Christopher Morris, 16.25 crore, £1.6 million to Rajasthan Royals. That's big boy money there. Dan, what did you make of it?
Well, first of all, I think he kind of fits the skill set that they need, and I think that's probably why they overpaid for him in terms of, you know, what he pretty much was worth and what he bought for last year as well. So any strategy that RCB had about releasing him and then buying back for cheaper was completely blown out of the water. The thing with Rajasthan is that they needed like extra batting stability, and that could be addressed in a couple of ways. So one way with Morris here is that they can just, as a bowler, they can say bat him at eight, and then they've got that extra depth to then allow their hitters to tee off more with impunity at the top of the order. So yeah, I don't mind the purchase. It kind of fits their skill set. He's that they needed. He's a good player. Is he overpriced? Yes, but they had the money to burn, so I suppose that's okay.
Yeah, the CEO of the Royals, is it Chris McCrum, was on another show talking about this. He was their top target, so the Royals have done well to land him there. Ross, what would you have spent on Chris Morris?
Well, if I would have spent it, so how much did he go for last year? Was it 1.1?
I think it was exactly one.
Yeah,
so 1 million, that is. So
yeah, so I would have spent that as RCB retaining him.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting one, isn't it? Obviously, I think a few teams were lining up Stark, which is probably why RCB released him in the first place. And then when Stark didn't enter the auction, there was all of this sort of extra money sloshing around. He is a guy who can bowl two periods of the game. He can swat it with the bat. To put it quite bluntly, and there is a bit of a scarcity of that skill set in the auction, and when you have sort of more than one team with quite a lot of money after one specific skill, well, crazy things can happen. He's a big fan of golf, so I imagine he'll be getting himself a new set of clubs or 20 years membership at Augusta National for the price he went for today. Number two on the list then, this was Kyle Jameson. He went to RCB. Ross, Kyle Jameson, we did talk about him on the preview show. Mm-hmm. Were you expecting him to be the second most expensive player at this auction?
No, I'm not even sure that many people actually will know who Kyle Jameson is as well. Like, unless you're following kind of Kiwi cricket and all that kind of stuff, like the guy's a giant. He's like, what, 6'9" or something like that? He's going to be quite an imposing character in the IPL. But as you say, there was a scarcity among the people who can twat it, as you so delicately put it, as well, bowl some quick deliveries. But it also highlighted just how badly RCB got their strategy wrong, right? Is they panic bought Kyle Jameson at an overinflated price, and it's unsurprising that it's kind of impacted on some of their other acquisitions.
Yeah, Dan, maybe you can talk a little bit about RCB strategy, because they seem to have, they've ended up with a less good version of the guy who's the most expensive player who they weren't paying that much money for. Why?
Yeah, no, exactly the point I was going to make. So basically, they could have saved 5 crore by just retaining Morris to start with. they're similar players, obviously, but like if we're kind of splitting hairs about, you know, the different skill sets that they've got. Jameson's more of a power play bowler. So he, in the last 3 or so years in New Zealand domestic cricket, he bowls 56% of his overs in the power play, whereas Morris is more of a death bowler. So they are a little bit different. The problem is for RCB is that they really needed death bowlers. So it didn't really quite work there. The thing with RCB as well is that not only did they release Morris and then he ended up going for a load more, and then they bought Jameson for more than what they could have retained Morris for. But they also released Moeen Ali, who would have cost 1 crore to retain, and then he ended up going to CSK for 7. So perhaps someone at RCB didn't get their valuations of players spot on, it's probably fair to say.
Not great. Which brings us to third on the auction list. Another player that RCB picked up, Glenn Maxwell, 14.25 crore, which is about £1.4 million. Dan, are you basically going to make all the same points again, or is there anything that's particularly good about this acquisition from an RCB point of view?
Well, my notes on their batters, I think we spoke about the other day as well, is that I thought that they needed strong spin hitters and left-handers. Where were they? And also Dan Christian, who as well, and he doesn't really fit into that bracket either. So it's kind of, well, okay, where do they go from here? And also to discuss their confused batting strategy, recruitment strategy even further, they actually put the first bid of the entire auction in on Steve Smith, who was about the opposite player that they needed at that.
Didn't we? And Ross, I know you were about to jump in there. We did say that the Galactico approach of RCB meant that they might put a bid in for Smith. So, Ross, I'm guessing you weren't stunned to see that.
No, honestly, when it happened, I started cheering at the TV, and I was just like, it's just classic RCB. There were so many bits here where if you didn't know anything about the IPL or the teams within it, and someone just goes, look, this is the kind of stereotype you get for CSK, this is the kind of stereotype you get for RCB, is not a surprise whatsoever that they bid for people like Steve Smith.
Yeah, I agreed. A few quick numbers on RCB. They've ended up with an incredibly unbalanced side in terms of the money they spent on different players. I think that their top four most expensive players are 67.6% of their total set spend, and 97.3% of their spend goes on their 11 most expensive players, 6 of whom are overseas, so they can't all even get on the same on the pitch at the same time. It's pure RCB, and we love it. Number four on the list, another fast bowler. It was a good day to be a fast bowler in the IPL.
Yeah, Mark Wood is definitely regretting pulling out last night, isn't he? He could have made some serious buck.
Did you guys see Sam Billings' tweet about that?
No, I haven't.
He said his girlfriend turned around to him in the auction and said, "Why didn't you turn out to be a bowler?"
Number four then is Jai Richardson, 14 crore, £1.4 million, off to Punjab Kings. Dan, you quite like Jai Richardson, don't you?
I do, yeah. And actually, so a few people in cricket, I told them that I thought that he would be the player who went for the most in auction. I wasn't quite right, but I wasn't far off either. He's really good for Punjab in terms of what they need. They needed pace bowlers and bowlers in general, and kind of extra depth batters as well. And I think Richardson ticks all those boxes as a lower order hitter. We don't have to see a Chris Jordan at 7 anymore, which is quite nice. And Richardson's like a kind of a, what I call a 2-2 bowler, like can bowl 2 power play, 2 death. And I think he really, really improves their group. So no dramas with that pickup at all.
Yeah, Ross, anything to add?
No, nailed it, Dan. Nailed it.
Number five on the list, and I think this is a little bit of a weird one and shows the kind of distortion you get in the market when there aren't a lot of Indian players around. Five is Krishnappa Gautam, which I think I'm saying right, 9.25 crore, £900,000. He's only played 24 IPL matches, averages 14 with the bat and 43 with the ball. You're not getting a lot for your 900K there, are you, Ross?
I mean, he only played twice, I think it was, for Kings XI Punjab last year. It's CSK, mate. They're unbelievable. Like when it was going through, I can see the value in going for top quality Indian talent in this auction. But yes, I know there's not loads of it available right now. But this, Dan, surely is a major overspend on someone who's not going to deliver that return.
Yeah, completely agree. You could have taken a naught off his price and it would have been quite reasonable, I think. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is that my notes said that they needed another spinner, potentially an off spinner for matchups, because they've got their World Cup with leg spinners, so left arm. And they also needed boundary hitters. So instead of addressing that skill set, they actually addressed it twice by picking up Calfam and Moeen Ali. I think Moeen Ali came first in the auction as well. So Calfam was kind of an unnecessary purchase. And obviously they dramatically overpaid for him. He didn't have a great time in the recent Syed Mushtaq Ali trophy either. Mm-hmm. This is such a good example of the scarce domestic resources leading to some dramatic overpayments for players who fitted the skill sets that teams felt that they really needed.
Yeah, six on the list, Riley Meredith. He went for 800 grand to Punjab Kings as well. I think this is where you see how people's valuations can change really quickly. I think once Chris Morris had gone for loads of money and then Jameson had gone for loads of money, everybody started, like the groupthink in the room started to become, oh, fast bowlers are worth loads of money. Riley Meredith isn't a player people in England will know too much about, I don't think. He had a good BBL. Is he really worth 800 grand though, Dan?
Well, my notes on him say overpriced and benefiting from recency and big bash bias. So I think that probably answers that question quite succinctly. he's kind of a power play bowler more than a death bowler as well, which is something to consider. I think that there's a reasonable chance that Merritt, he's a good player, don't get me wrong, but whether he's worth 8 crore is another matter entirely. And I think there's a good chance they just paid 8 crore for a backup player.
Well, they kind of did that with Sheldon Cottrell last year, so, you know, stick to the game plan. Seven, Ross, it's Moeen Ali. He's been in the news a lot this week, and I'm sure the £700,000 CSK have just spent on him. We'll see him in the headlines again. He was quoted as saying, "I'm absolutely buzzing. It's made my day and year." Probably a little bit of an understatement there. I'd be through the roof if someone was going to pay me 700 grand to play cricket. Well, Ross, you did predict this. Is it a good signing?
It comes back to the best song in cricket, doesn't it? Girls don't like boys, girls like Moeen Ali. And in this instance, is absolutely brilliant for him. I think he was on the receiving end of some pretty harsh words, whether it was from Joe Root, Chris Silverwood, and they've had to apologise since, even if it was a misunderstanding. Couldn't be happier for him. And I think it's kind of the perfect thing for him, right? Especially with England in the World Cup year. Moeen Ali going to do this. He'll have to play for CSK. He's going to be one of their better players. I think it's a great pickup. But again, RCB completely cocking it up for themselves.
Yeah. He also went on to say, "It'll be great to play under MS Dhoni's captaincy and with my England mate, Sam Curran too." Ross, how enthusiastic would you be about spending 8 weeks in a bubble with Sam Curran and MS Dhoni?
There's not much room for your personal confidence, is there, of those two? I'll say no more on the matter.
Dan, a more serious question. CSK went quite hard for Maxwell a little bit earlier in the auction. Is Moeen Ali a sort of budget version of Maxwell in this situation?
No, I don't think so. I think that they're probably skill set wise, obviously Mo's left-hander and Maxwell's not, but you know, it's a right-hander. But apart from that, they've got very, very similar skill sets. And no, I don't think so at all. I think Moeen Ali could be, as you say, one of CSK's better players. And I fully expect him to be a regular starter for them next year. And as we've sort of said a couple of times already, it shows questionable strategy from RCB. Not retaining a guy for 1 crore who then had a bidding war going up for 7 crore somewhere else.
Last couple of players then on the list of most expensive. Shah Rukh Khan, £525,000, Punjabi Kings. He's named after a Bollywood star. And I think it's fair to say Hollywood ending. here, boys. Ross, you first. Who is he?
I don't know. I knew you were going to set me up for that. I can't even guess. I'm going to reckon he's 27. He's a batsman and he bowls a little bit. Is that right? Is that a good guess,
Dan?
Well, I tweeted about him, but I had all the data in front of me at that point. I'm pretty sure he had an amazing side, Mushtaq Ali Trophy, and he's actually 25, Ross, so not far off. His boundary percentage is good. I think there's upside there. Whether he's kind of a stability orientated player is definitely questionable. I think he could be like not far off, like, I was trying to think of some players, like a Narine-style player in terms of will just tee off and get out pretty quickly a lot of the time, but not chew up any balls as well. So you can understand why teams like that kind of skill set. We also saw Punjab pick up a similar type of player as well in Fabian Allen, and then kind of the opposite dynamic a little bit in Moises Henriquez as well.
There's a good video of him with the rest of the Tamil Nadu cricket team on their team bus celebrating him going for £500,000 or 5 crore, which is worth searching out on Twitter if you've got the time. Finally, not included on the official list of top eight signings, but Shivam Dubé. We tipped him to go for quite a lot of money. Ended up going for 4 crore, which was quite a lot. And Dan, I don't think you were too bullish on Shivam Dube or Dubé as a player.
No, I just don't really get it because like he's not good enough to get in the team as a batter. He's not good enough to get in the team as a bowler. His bowling output is not a regular. He's not a regular like 4 over bowler or even a regular 3 over bowler really. And he doesn't really have like the strike rate upside of like of say you know premium you know, luxury player if you like I don't know let's compare him to, I know it's an overseas thing but let's compare him to like Dan Christian or Ben Cutting for example. I know it's an overseas dynamic versus domestic dynamic but those guys have got like potentials to strike at like a 200 plus strike rate at the death easily. I'm not sure Dubé has that and I just felt it was a bit of an unnecessary purchase from my.
There we are. That's the most expensive players. Ross, you were doing some work on the weird players from the auction. Do you want to talk us through a couple of those?
First, I just want to congratulate Shakib Al-Hassan for his return to the IPL fold. I think at 3.2 crore, it's actually quite a good pickup from Kolkata Knight Riders. Would you agree with that, Dan?
No. not because I don't think that he's a good player, but because my notes on KKR said that they needed several opening batsmen and they bought all-rounders.
Yeah, well, the Kolkata Knight Riders are going to Kolkata Knight Riders, aren't they? That's what we've just got to get on board with. So when it comes to the weird and wonderful, and away from my fanboying over the number one ODI player in the world, is Donut Boy, Piyush Chawla. He's off to Mumbai Indians. A 32-year-old on the decline. Surely the play here was to let Delhi, who were in the bidding war for Chawla, have him. So when he comes and plays against them, Ishan Kishan can just belt him out of the stadium repeatedly. That's surely the tactic here, not buying him. When it comes to CSK, they continue to demonstrate that they have no idea how to play T20 cricket anymore as they picked up test match blocker Pujara. Can anyone explain to me what the thinking was on that front?
I don't know. They got a round of applause for it. Maybe they just wanted some adulation from the room. It's intoxicating. I don't know if you've ever been on stage, but people clapping you, it makes you feel good. So I wonder if that was the game plan there.
Yeah, just to boost their average age up just a little bit and their strike rate down a bit.
Maybe they thought Krishna Pagath and put their average age down a little bit, so they thought they'd address the issue with the Pujara pickup.
Yeah, I mean, he's I think he averages about 20 in his IPL career with a strike rate of under 100. So you can see the pedigree they're getting there if you want to block out a few middle overs with Dhoni and have set the lowest score ever when you're 3 wickets down. Firepower at the top of the order was the target of the day for Delhi Capitals. So completely logical, they went for Steve Smith. Again, they had better options available. So we're going to talk about Alex Hales a little bit later on. But there was better options surely for them, for Delhi in this situation.
There's about 10 better options. Mm-hmm. So like, for example, Alex Hales was unsold, Evan Lewis was unsold, just Gurbaz, everything. All these attacking openers are needed by Smith. When you've already got Shreyas Iyer playing the same role, it just makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. Yeah. They need an opening batsman of firepower at the top, and they got Steve Smith. So, yeah. And again, it doesn't have to be like the fact that that he's a bad player necessarily. It's just the fact that he doesn't fit into what their group needed. It just made no sense. And actually, on the point of Delhi generally, I found that this auction was completely bizarre. They didn't address really any of the gaps that I'd identified in their squad. Mm-hmm. Tom Curran, Umesh Yadav, just made no sense to me at all. A couple of decent domestic pickups, perhaps Ripal Patel and Lukman Meriwala. Cheap both from 20 lakh with quite a lot of upside, but bigger names overseas, I don't think they nailed it at all.
Yeah, for the team, so Jack, I mean, you said before that Delhi are the closest team in terms of talent pool to Mumbai Indians, and they obviously finished as runners up in the last year. As Dan said, they've not really done too much, have they?
Yeah, I don't know after today. We'll have a look, and our Sunday show, we'll be doing the winners and losers from each team. Or if in each team, we'll be assessing their auction. I think they're definitely going to be a loser. I think other teams will have gained ground on them. And it seemed really obvious watching them last year that they needed just more people who could hit boundaries. They were using Marcus Stoinis up and down the order to try and fill these different holes, whether that was as an opener or as a number six. And it was like, well, why not just get another guy a bit like Stoinis?
Well, maybe what they'll do is what CSK do. I'm not really meaning to rag on CSK here, but move one of the Curran brothers up to open. That kind of worked Sam, but not sure it's going to work for Delhi. And finally, Sunrisers Hyderabad, who their team balance was insolvable, I think, from this auction, but they managed to address absolutely nothing, even a little bit, picking up another Afghanistani international and Kedar Yadav, who, why did they pick up Kedar Yadav? I don't know.
Don't ask me. I wasn't on that table. Sunrisers Hyderabad had shut all their laptops before they'd finished signing players. So maybe just near the end, they were like, has anyone heard of this guy?
They needed boundary hitters. They need death hitters and boundary hitters. And they bought Yadav and left 7 crore unspent. I mean, where does this go? Release a squad pace bowler as their overseas and bought in an off spinner. But I mean, it made no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, I think that kind of sums up the weird and wonderful. A couple of great value ones just to touch upon. David Milan to Kings 11 Punjab for 1.5 crore. I think that's definitely better value than Shakib Hassan, so you can't shout me down for this one, Dan.
Sorry. I just don't really see it makes any sense because I'm not sure he complements their batting group in the role that he's probably likely going to play for them. And maybe he won't even be like a regular starter there. I don't know. Obviously, they've got like Paran and Gale already as overseas batters, and they really needed to beef up the bowling and add a bit more batting depth as well in terms of like a 7 or an 8. So I'm unconvinced whether he's going to be a regular starter, get much game time. Not necessarily that he's a bad player. I just don't think he's really gone to the right team that can make use of his ability.
Yeah, we do have to consider that Chris Gayle is about 50, and regardless of how good Chris Gayle actually is, there is a real risk that he just might not be able to get up one day. they need a bit of backup. So Jack, that moves us on to some of the unpicked players.
Yeah, we're just going to talk about two or three of the English players who didn't get picked up. Adil Rashid, we'll start with him. We did discuss the possibility that he wouldn't go, actually. And basically, the reason for that is there are too many Indian spinners. I made a list of them. I'm not going to read them out because we haven't got all day. But there are 14, I think, that are quite good. So, a lot of depth there. Either of you two shocked at all that nobody put a bid in for him?
No, it's probably more one for Dan. I mean, I really like Adil Rashid. I think it would have been great for England for him to go to this. But as we discussed in the preview, it was unlikely for him to be picked up.
I'm kind of just a bit met about the selection in terms of he's never been picked up in the IPL before for a start. So I was quite sort of negative about his chances in advance. And just the fact that, as Jack said, that the local spinners, there's such a deep pool of local spinners that it's what you said the other day about Joe Root as well, as a batter as well, in terms of that sort of more stability orientated batter. It's just a disadvantage for specific skill sets. And I tried to make this point on Twitter earlier with Darren Goff, and he wasn't very happy about it because I think he was quite irritated that Rashid didn't get picked up. But yeah, it's just a skill set thing with compared to scarcity of resources, is just that was against him, I think, in this particular auction, especially with teams kind of going for a few players rather than it being a mega auction, which we're going to have next year.
Yeah. Probably the other big name from an English perspective who didn't get sold was Alex Hales. And we were, as opposed to Adil Rashid, we were pretty sure he would go. Why wasn't he sold, Dan?
I genuinely don't know. We talked about earlier with Riley Meredith, he benefited from that recency and BBL bias, and Alex Hales in theory should have had that too. I don't know, to be honest with you. I can't answer that question because for me it makes no sense at all. And in a world where Delhi really needed an opener and they bought Steve Smith and Alex Hales was available at base price, I just don't understand.
Sorry, Ross. Yeah, you go.
I was about to say, what is the policy on injury replacements? So do you have to pick an injury replacement from the pool that were available in the auction, or could you just pick anybody who makes themselves available?
You have to pick from the pool who is available at the auction, and you can't replace a player for more money than, say, the base price is more money than what that you bought that player that you want to replace for. You can't get that player. It has to be under that. Their base price had to be under the level that you bought that player at the auction that they're going
to replace. Yeah, so Hales was 1.5 crore, so it would have to be a reasonably pricey player for him to get in that way.
Fingers crossed Steve Smith gets injured, I reckon.
Yeah, I mean, that's my note, basically, is that Delhi taking Smith over him is an absolute crime. I do wonder, I mean, the only reason I can sort of think of for this is that he doesn't really have a lot of IPL experience. And even though he's sort of been on a global tour of T20 dominance over the last couple of years, franchises do seem to highly value players who have played in the IPL, even if they've not actually played very well in the IPL in the past. So, yeah, maybe it was that. Final one was Jason Roy. I think if Hales wasn't going to go, Roy probably wasn't going to go either, is what I think about that. You're both nodding. So, we'll move on. We've got a few tweets in. We want to keep the show reasonably tight, so I'm going to ask a question and you're going to have one sentence to answer it. Do you understand that, boys?
Yep.
So Andy asks, how badly fucked RCB now? Ross, you can go first.
I actually think their starting squad is actually reasonably okay, and they were kind of just filling out the squad, so I think they're not completely fucked.
Dan?
Their auction made no sense, but they still have some good players. They didn't address the gaps away.
Stan Wheeler asks, has anyone put themselves in position to challenge Mumbai? So Ross, you can go first in this one again.
Bring on the Rajasthan Royals, 8th to 1st.
Dan, your point of view?
Actually, kind of on the same lines as Ross, really. I'm not saying 8th to 1st, but I think they had a better auction than most. And I think Mumbai are still streets ahead, though. And they're going to be the team to beat for sure.
Sure. And then I think the last question, there's two more questions. Why did Jameson sell for the amount of money he did? Dan, that's probably one for you to summarise there.
Yeah, I mean, he's a very, very good bowler. He also bats a bit down the order as well, so it's quite a rare skill set. Still think there was a lot of recency bias and perhaps some influence of his test performances, so cross-format performances are a bit overvalued, perhaps.
I think he played well against India last year as well, and that's usually a ticket to the IPL. and finally, how much money do Jai Richardson and Riley Meredith owe to Mitchell Starc, Ross?
Yeah, it's a huge bit, right? I think it's a great opportunity for both of them to actually play. But as Dan said, the opportunities that kind of Meredith will get might be limited. But Richardson has the chance to turn himself into a proper superstar, I think.
Yeah, right. Great. That's everything from us. Remember to like and subscribe and comment or do whatever you're supposed to do on YouTube. You can also find our podcast on Spotify and iTunes, etc. And we're on Twitter and Instagram at The Cricket Pod. Ross, Dan, thanks for coming along. I mean, Ross, you're on the show every week, so less thanks to you. Dan, you might want to mention to people quickly where they can find you if they're interested.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, thanks for having me again, as always. You can find me on Twitter at SA Advantage, all one word. And if you're really bored and you've got an hour to spare, you can read my mega thread of the auction as well on there.
Great. Our next show will be out Sunday evening, probably, maybe Monday morning. And the final thing to mention is that we have a review show of the second test between England and India out, and you can find that on our channel page. Bye.